Amen. Good morning. Good morning. How are you guys doing today? Good. I guess only some of you are doing good. I hope the other ones are falling asleep and not doing bad. So what a privilege it is to be here today with you. Okay. Am I turned on with this one? Yes. Okay. And it is a blessing to serve the Lord. Amen. God is good. He's been good in the past, he's been good now, and he'll be good in the future. In spite of our actions, of ourselves, and our faithfulness to him, he will always be good. We're going to be in Genesis. Genesis chapter 45. This story is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. I mean, as it is, Joseph is one of my favorite characters apart from the King David because of his character. It took a lot from him to do what was right. A lot of times people live religiously or by appearances. And we don't understand a lot of times that our outside, even if it's changed into a religion, it doesn't do any good to our inside. And when our inside is changed, it is impossible for our exterior not to show it. It's like a banana. How do you know a banana is good? Because it's all dark and ugly. So when you go to the store and you see a dark banana, you look at it and say, wow, this is the best banana I'm going to eat ever. And then you open it up and then it's all soggy and soft in the inside. And you taste it. And then you find out that you were deceived by your own mind. Because a good banana is reflected on how it looks on the outside. So, bottom line on all this, if your inside is good, and I'm talking about the heart, if your heart is good, is right with God, it is impossible for your exterior not to reflect. And we see something in the life of Joseph that maybe some of us will not be able to face if we ever go through that process. And I'm not saying we don't have the ability, but we have to have the character. I do believe that everybody has the ability to act properly in difficult circumstances, but not everybody has a character. Character is built up through a hard, disciplined life and through a committed life. It's easy to be committed with the world. It's easy to be faithful to the world because the world gives us something back in return. It might give us money. It might give us popularity. But the world cannot ever give us what we need in the heart. Ever. It doesn't matter what you think you can have in the world that will fulfill your heart. It will never fulfill it. Because the only person that can fulfill every area of the empty heart is God. No one else. But you see, we see the life of Joseph, and ever since we start reading the story of him, he was his father's favorite. But he wasn't his father's favorite just because he had a pretty face. Like me. Why do you laugh? I don't have a pretty face. He was his father's favorite because of his character, because of his faithfulness, and because of his convictions. Even though his brothers did not, were not what they appeared to be in front of their father, Joseph was always the same person in front of his father or away from his father. He had great character. And it was because of his character that Joseph was his father's favorite. And not only that, it was because of his character that he found grace in the eyes of Potiphar. And not only that, it was because of his character that he found grace in the eyes of Pharaoh when he put him as the second most important person in the land of Egypt. How important it is to have character. How important it is to be men. Amen. Men have to be men. Men have to stop whining, and they have to stop being so emotional, because God did not create men emotional. God created women emotional. Nowadays, we see a confusion between the both of them, where man wants to be emotional and the woman wants to be man characterized. But God did not create them like that. Were there times in the life of Joseph where he maybe got emotional? Maybe, yeah, they were, because he was a human being. He was flesh. But he also stood in his convictions rather than his emotions. Now, can you imagine, how would you feel if your brothers would sell you off? How would you feel about that? Maybe some of you have an idea, oh, now I know what to do with my brother. But if somebody you love much would do the same thing that Joseph's brother did to him, you wouldn't be too happy about that. Maybe you would start complaining against God and saying, God, why would this happen to me if I've been faithful to you, or if I've just done everything that was right? But the Lord always has a purpose. Now that I went to Houston to Lynette's wedding, the Lord gave me an opportunity to encounter two different people. I had to take Ubers. One of my tires gave me a problem, and I had to change it. And the first person I encountered was a young man from Cameroon, Africa. He had been here in the States for about 8 months, alone, no family at all whatsoever. And I asked him, and I said, do you go to a church? And he said, no, I don't. There's hardly any time for that. And I told him, you know what, man? One thing you have to have in mind is, when God blesses you, it's not for you to go farther away from him. It's for you to come closer to him. And I said, are you helping out your family in Cameroon now? He says, yes, I've been a blessing to my family. I used to go to a church in Cameroon every Sunday, every Tuesday, every Wednesday. I mean, of course, it was a Jehovah's Witness, but he was faithful over there, but now he's too busy here for God. And then I encountered another guy, a Venezuelan guy, whose uncle is a Baptist pastor in Venezuela. And I asked him the same question. Do you go to a church? Oh, there's no time for church. And he started explaining to me the situation in Venezuela. And then I came to my senses and I said, Venezuela was the richest country in Latin America more than 20 years ago, before Hugo Chavez went into office. But you know what Hugo Chavez did when he went into office? He blasphemed God's name and Jesus Christ's name. Now, did all of the people of Venezuela did that? No. But because one man rejected God's grace and God's gift, one whole country was affected by that. And now Venezuela is one of the poorest countries in Latin America right now. Remember back in December, I talked to you guys about Brother Ali Villegas, that missionary in Venezuela whose wife has cancer? It is such a blessing to me to see what God is doing there in Venezuela with him. You know, his church every Sunday is full. They even have to rent chairs because they ran out of chairs. They have to have services on the streets because they don't fit inside of the building. But you know what had to happen for people to really soften their hearts to God? God had to take something away that they really loved. And I think in the life of Joseph, God had to take something away that he really loved for him to understand God's purpose in his life. Now, praise the Lord, Joseph never got bitter against God or against his family. And I see Joseph's character in this, and I say, God, please help me to be like Joseph when I tend to get bitter and when I tend to complain against whatever happens in my life. And what I want to talk to you about, I know I spent so much time in the introduction, but what I want to talk to you about this morning, it's about the fruits of forgiveness. When you learn to forgive, things come to your life. Your character gets better. Your spiritual life gets better. Your commitment with the Lord gets better. Your attitude gets better. And your whole life gets better. Amen. Let's all stand, please, and we'll read Genesis chapter 45. I'm going to read it all. You don't have to read it out loud with me, because as it is, I have a bad pronunciation. So just keep reading along with me, okay? Verse number 1, we'll read till verse number 20 in that same chapter. And it reads like this: Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, Cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph, doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, Come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in that which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God, and he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye, and go up to my father, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that is my mouth that speaketh unto you. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that ye have seen, and ye shall haste and bring down my father hither. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck, and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them, and after that his brethren talked with him. And the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come, and it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, Say unto thy brethren, This do ye, lade your beasts, and go and get unto the land of Canaan. And take your father and your households, and come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and ye shall eat of the fat of the land. Now thou art commanded, this do ye, take you wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and your wives, and bring your father and come. Also regard not yours, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word, and I thank you so much for this message, Father, that has softened my heart so many times. Thank you for letting me see your grace on my life and your forgiveness in me. I pray that you help me, Lord, and you help us to be as forgiving as you are. and to strengthen our lives and to strengthen our spiritual lives. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I just want to advertise something in verse number 19, where Pharaoh tells Joseph to take wagons. They were not Fords, okay? They couldn't be Fords. They couldn't handle everything that Jacob had, okay? Just wanted to be clear with that. How important it is to forgive. I like to talk about forgiveness because I've had to forgive. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, in the Lord's Prayer, that if we do not forgive others, our Heavenly Father will not be able to forgive us. It doesn't matter who you are. It don't matter how much money you have. Or it doesn't matter how poor you are. You need to forgive. You can't feel so important where you can't forgive others and live a peaceful life yourself. The Bible says that if we don't forgive, then our hearts get hardened and they get bitter. And we see it in many different places in the Bible. We see it in the life of Esau. He didn't forgive Jacob, and what happened? He got bitter. Not only that, the Bible says that he got married with two women that made his parents' lives miserable because he did not forgive. He did it on purpose. And the lack of forgiveness affects not only our personal lives, but it affects the lives of the people surrounding us too. Not only in our family, but in our secular environment, but also, and the most important thing, in our churches. There can't be unity in churches if there's no forgiveness. Now, forgiveness is not tolerating sin. Don't take it wrong, because a lot of people say, well, you have to forgive me, so you have to accept my sin. No, forgiving is not accepting sin. Forgiving is healing and expecting the other people or the other person to get right with God and to get right with me as I am getting right with God in them. Do I make sense? Now, one of the things that we see in the life of Joseph throughout the whole journey that he encountered in the land of Egypt is that he learned through forgiveness to treat others the right way. You want to know when your heart is a forgiven heart? When you start treating others the right way. Not hypocritically. Oh, because people can fake it really well. Have you ever encountered a person that she or he is a really nice person in front of you, and they smile at you and you, and then they speak the best of you, but when you turn, oh man, hell comes alive. And excuse my expression, but I say hell comes alive because that doesn't come from God. It doesn't. It comes from the devil. And then then people start talking bad about you, and then they start criticizing you, the way you dress, the way you talk, what you do in your work, how much you earn, everything. They talk bad about everything. But you know what's the main reason? Because they haven't learned to forgive. And a lot of people have a lot of traumas. Maybe they were abused when they were a kid. Maybe they were mistreated by their parents when they were kids. Maybe they were abandoned by their parents when they were kids. But let me tell you something, there's not a big enough trauma that God cannot solve in your life or that God can fix in your life. Because when you feel God's forgiveness, everything else fades away. Because if you think about it, just meditate on this. Has anybody ever offended you as much as you've offended God? Now you may say, Pastor, I'm a very good person. I've never done anything bad to anybody. The Bible says in the book of 1 John, go with me. Keep your place here in Genesis. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 10. Let's see what the Bible says in regards to the condition of our hearts. Now, you can be the best person there is, and I'm not doubting it. I'm not saying you're not a good person. But the only thing I'm saying is that the Bible, and God, it's always right. And God says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a what? A liar, and his word is not in us. The Bible says there is not a man that has never ever sinned. Everybody has sinned. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So as good person as you can be, you're still a sinner. You've violated God's law at one point in your life, or you're violating it right now. So you're a sinner. So when you think about that is, have you ever, or has anybody ever offended you as much as you've offended God? And if nobody has ever offended you as much as you've offended God, why there shouldn't be a reason to give forgiveness to others? If I failed God with my thoughts, if I failed God with my faithfulness, if I failed God with my body, if I failed God sometimes with my words or with my intentions or with my motives or even with my feelings, why, if God has forgiven me all that, there's no greater sin that God cannot forgive. Every sin God will forgive if you ask him by faith through Jesus Christ. So if God has forgiven you, it is your life, why is it that we can't forgive other people's little offenses to us? Is there people with bad intentions? Oh yeah, there's people with bad intentions. But remember that. We all have a flesh. Have you ever had a bad intention? Now some people may say, well, I've never had bad intentions. All the intentions I've had, they're all been good. Are you sure? Like when you go to the store and you see an expensive item and then you come to the register and then sometimes there's people that tell them, hey, this thing's on sale. No, it's not. Yes, it is. Well, I thought it was. I saw a sign. Yeah, but the sign was like on the other side of the aisle. So our intentions a lot of times reflect the state of our hearts. Now, we've all at one point maybe had bad intentions. So we can't just kill people or murder people because of their offenses toward us. We have to be forgiving. Now we go back to the book of Genesis, and the first thing that we see Joseph learning is to treat people the right way. Verse number 1 of Genesis 45 says, "Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, 'Cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known to his brethren.'" Verse number 3, "And Joseph said unto his brethren, 'I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?' And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren." Now, what could Joseph do at this point? He had all the power to hang his brothers, each one of them. He had all the power. He had the power to even whip them or torture them because of what they did. But what was it Joseph did? Verse number 4. "And Joseph said unto his brethren, 'Come near to me, I pray you.' And they came near. And he said, 'I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not," what? "Grieved." Don't worry about it. You know what? What I see in the life of Joseph, Joseph had forgiven his brothers way back when they sold them. Not just when he saw them after that. So the forgiveness helped him to treat other people right. You want to know if you really had a forgiving heart? Examine how you treat others. Do you treat them like trash? Well, he or she did that to me 20 years ago. You know what? That person doesn't even remember. They've lived happily ever since, and you've been worrying about it, crying, and hitting your heart saying, oh, what they did to me was horrible. But you know what? There's nothing that people can do to us that what we did to Christ on the cross of Calvary. When Christ went to that cross, they beat him up. You know, the people that received him at once when he came into Jerusalem with palm leaves saying, "Oh, King of Israel, Son of David," that same people were yelling, saying, crucify him. Can you imagine that? Being betrayed by the people who supported you the most. Oh, if you are God, get down from that cross. Let's see. Prove it to us. Wow. You know, for as much bad as people can do to us, there's nothing we can go through that Christ didn't go through. And he was able to forgive each one of us. What did Jesus say when he was on that cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Wow. What words. I remember a few years back, I met an owner of a restaurant. And he asked me if I was a Christian. I said, yes, I am a Christian. And he started telling me a story that he went through. He said he had a restaurant here somewhere. I'm not going to say where, but he said he had a restaurant here somewhere. And he had joined with another guy. He was the one that did the administration. He was always away. He was buying groceries. And his associate was the one in charge of the restaurant. He was always there. But what he didn't know is that associate was always taking money out of the register and keeping it to himself. And then all of a sudden, this associate takes him to court and takes the restaurant away from him. And this guy tells me, oh, I was so mad. I dreamed every night how I was going to kill that guy. He had stolen the most precious thing I had ever built in my life, apart from my family. He had stolen my future. He said, but I opened another restaurant, and then I got a heart attack, and I almost died. And the doctor told me, you're very stressed out. You have a lot on your mind. You have to slow down. But what the doctor told me was not enough. So one day, there was a Christian psychologist that came to my restaurant and told me, what's going on with you? And I said, well, what do you mean, what's going on? And he said, well, there's something in your face that doesn't look good. Tell me about it. And he said he started telling them a story of how he got his restaurant stolen and how mad he was and how he wanted to kill that guy. And this Christian told the owner of the restaurant, well, can you tell me who you are? And this guy tells him, well, what do you mean, who am I? Yeah, who are you? Can you compare yourself to Jesus Christ? And compared to Jesus Christ, who are you? He got beaten. He got betrayed. He got mocked. He got crucified. Him being God endured all that. You're not God, and you can't even endure that? This guy is not a Christian, but these are his words. That ever since that Christian told him that, he forgave. And he was able to sleep. And he was able to have a better life and to succeed in his other restaurant because he forgave. See, forgiveness changes your environment. If you don't treat people right, it means that you haven't been able to forgive. If you don't have a loving heart, it's because you haven't been able to forgive. Joseph, when he saw his brethren, he had a loving heart. Yes, it hurt him. Yes, he remembered all the bad moments, but he was able to love them. He was able to hug them. He was able to kiss them, each one of them, because he forgave. He forgave. And the only thing that you might need this morning, maybe you're wondering, well, why am I discouraged all the time? Or why am I not like before? It might be that you need to forgive somebody. That's all you might need. Get right with God. Get right with that person. Hey, leave aside the offenses. The past is the past. Even if that person begs you in his knees or her knees to forgive you, it's not going to change the past. Just forget about it. But what's going to change is your attitude, not their attitude. And you know what? This has been one of the hardest areas in my life. And I tell you this because Not that I've been the person that has been through the most, but ever since my parents got divorced, I went through a lot of hard things. But God brought me to the point of understanding that I either forgive or I either get bitter and I mess up my life. Can you imagine if Joseph would have just been bitter and he would have been mad at Potiphar and he would have been mad at Pharaoh? Would Pharaoh put him in the position that he was? I don't think so. He had to have a forgiving heart. Pharaoh had to see. And as a matter of fact, the Bible says in verse number 16, read verse number 16, it says, and the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come. And what does the next part say? It pleased Pharaoh well. Wow. Because Pharaoh saw the heart that Joseph had, a forgiving heart. So number one, when you really forgive, you learn how to treat people right. Number two, when you learn how to forgive, you learn how to speak with the truth. Verse number 3 says, and Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph, doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, and I pray you. And they came near and said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold in Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry yourselves, that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. Joseph could have just played the victim role. Joseph could have just told his brothers, hey, you have no idea what I went through. Hey, you don't know how much you broke my heart or how much you hurt my heart. Oh, I've been through so much. But you know what Joseph did? The only thing Joseph did was tell him, you know what? God had a purpose. He brought me here to preserve life. That's it. He spoke with the truth. He didn't make up anything. You know what? You don't see anywhere where Joseph tells them, oh, you don't know what I went through in Potiphar's house. That girl there, oh, she tried to seduce me. She tried to deceive me, and she lied about me. Oh, how bad of a life. You don't see that. Do you? No. But what you see is Joseph speaking the truth, saying, you know what? This is a purpose. What happened in the past, it's already passed. Did Joseph got hurt? Yes, he did, because verse number 1 says, and Joseph could not refrain himself before all of them that stood by him, and he cried. You only cry out of three things, or three reasons. You cry when you're mad, you cry when you're sad, or you cry when you're happy. But when you cry when you cry when you're happy, you don't yell. Oh, I'm so happy. You don't do that, right? Now, when you're sad and you're hurt, you cry and you yell. And a lot of times you can't handle the pain, that you have to release it by yelling. And I think Joseph cried from the hurt. But crying from the hurt didn't mean he had not forgiven them. And he learned on how to forgive them. So forgiveness teaches you how to speak the truth. Number 3, forgiveness teaches you to look God's purpose in the situation. Verse number 6. It says, for these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God, look at that, God sent me. Joseph didn't say, you guys sent me. Joseph said, God sent me. And see, when you see your situations coming from God, hey, you may pray for God to remove that person that makes your life miserable, but guess what? God's going to bring another one. You know why? Because God is molding you. And God doesn't mold people through the easy situations. God didn't soften David's heart through just being a shepherd. God softened David's heart by being persecuted by Saul, by being betrayed by his own son, by being betrayed by his own people. And you see, one of the most iconic persons in the book of Psalms is David. Have you ever read Psalm 69? Read it. Read it at home. And start imagining what David felt when he was writing that psalm. But why did David love the Lord so much? Because he learned how to forgive. Remember when David was on one side of the hill and Saul was on the other side, and then when they were asleep, David and his men came. And one of his men, I don't know if it was Abner, but one of his men told him, "Just say the word, David, and I'll cut the head of Saul." What was the answer from David? "Don't raise your hand on the anointed of God." What great lessons of forgiveness we see in the Bible. Hey, that man who persecuted David, who tried to kill David, who even lied about David, and David said, "Do not lift your hand against the man of God." You know what David did to that Ammonite? I think it was an Ammonite who killed Saul. Oh, the Ammonite, he came all nice talking to David, thinking he was going to be put in a pedestal for killing Saul. "Oh, David, I killed David for you. I knew he hated you." And what did David say? "How dare you kill the anointed of God?" See, forgiveness teaches you to see God's purpose in the situation and to put aside the offense. Now, this is not easy. I'm not saying it is easy. But when, with God's help and with the purpose of God, you can continue on. You can forgive. And God has a better plan for anything that you might think it has come for bad in your life. Number four. I'm almost done. I'm used to finish at 12:30. Over there, so. Number four, forgiveness teaches us to look at the future. Verse number 10. "And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children and thy children's children, and thy flocks and thy herds, and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you." The Bible says, without vision, the people shall perish. Without a vision, the people shall perish. If you do not have spiritual plans for your future, you'll perish in your spiritual life. See, a spiritual life is not just about one Sunday a week. A spiritual life is not just about singing a song. A spiritual life is not just to come to the altar. It's good to come to the altar, but you know what? A spiritual life develops there in your house where nobody sees you. Hey, it's easy to wear a tie here in church. Everybody does. Mostly everybody does. Well, everybody else wears a tie. I'll wear a tie too. Well, everybody else talks properly. I'll talk properly. But God doesn't care about that. God cares how you behave where nobody sees you. And by the way, that is called character. The way you do things when nobody sees you. That is character. When we look at the future, we see God's hand, His grace, and His will. We might not know everything, but we'll see His hand. And God wants to mold us in a way that we become more like Him. Now, Christian life is not just becoming about, or it's not becoming like the pastor, it's not becoming like the leaders, it's not becoming just like this person, that. You know what Christian life is about? Becoming like Jesus Christ. By the way, that's what Christianity means. being like Christ. Christianity is not just a word of religion. Christianity is a way of living. Now you forgive, and your heart will be motivated to do what's right. Next we see the next thing that Joseph got taught through forgiveness was seeking reconciliation. Verse 14. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them. And after that, his brethren talked with him. See, when you learn on how to forgive, you just don't let it go. You go get that person and try to get it right. Now, will that person always be available or willing to get it right? I don't know. I don't think so. But when you get it right, you'll seek reconciliation. Let me ask you this. How long have you been mad at somebody for? What's the longest? Now, I'm not expecting anybody to answer me that question publicly, right? But if I am not wrong, there's people that haven't been able to forgive in years. And I'm not talking about 1 year. I'm not talking about 2 years. I'm talking about things that had happened 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago. Maybe in your marriage. Oh, women, they have such a good memory for bad circumstances in the marriage. I'm not married, but I'm a pastor. I deal with those situations. And you know what? Women remember every little single detail. Everything. Remember when you asked for my hand? Remember when you asked me out for the first time? Every little single detail they remember. It could be a virtue, but it can also be a defect. Because if a woman doesn't let go of some things, it can affect the whole marriage through her whole life. Her whole life. What about men? Well, men don't pay too much attention to women, right? So it seems like they ignored women every time they do something bad, so it's like they don't even care. But men have things that they're not able to forgive too. Maybe your parents. Maybe your kids, maybe your boss at your work, maybe your pastor. Oh, this is something that a lot of men deal with nowadays. I can't forgive that man. He preached about my sin in the pulpit. How dare he do that? You know what? The pastor is not looking at your life 24/7. He doesn't have a camera in your house. He doesn't have a microphone in your car. Well, he had to find out somehow or another. Well, it was the direction of the Holy Spirit telling him. You have to learn how to forgive. And you know what's the tragic thing in all this? That when parents can't forgive a pastor for saying something or for not doing something, it gets transferred to their kids. And then their kids start having something against the pastor too. I don't know how that works, but it works. I always tell people, whenever I know you're not right with me, I see it in your kids. Because your kids disrespect me. It is true. I mean, it doesn't only affect you. So don't tell me you have a very forgiving heart when you're not seeking reconciliation. Now, it's not about begging people to be right with us because we can't force people to be right with us, right? But we at least have to try to reconcile ourselves. You know what's the first thing that Satan wants in churches? Division. Division. Hey, get this lady mad with that other lady. Half of the church will be divided. It will. hey, have this young group divided against that young group. Oh, that will be dividing the church. Because Satan knows. And Jesus says that a house divided within itself, it can't stand. And I'm paraphrasing because I know it by memory in Spanish, but in English it's a little harder. But those are the words from Jesus. Hey, I'm not saying for you to tolerate sin from other people or to say, hey, thank you for damaging my kids, or thank you for damaging my marriage, or thank you for damaging my whole. I'm not saying you have to do that, but at least forgive and go to that person and say, hey, I want to be right with you. I don't want to be against you. Joseph didn't wait for his brothers to come and beg him for forgiveness. Did you see that in the Bible? Do you see the brothers kneeling down and saying, oh, please forgive us, have mercy upon us. We've done so bad, or we've messed up so much. Do you see that? No. Joseph said, come here. You come here. Oh, you don't want to come here? I'm going to go kiss you. I'm going to go hug you. Because he learned on how to seek reconciliation. And lastly, I'll be finishing with this. Forgiveness brings us unexpected blessings. Now, verse number 17. Verse number 17. And it reads, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, say unto thy brethren, this do ye, lay your beasts, and go get you unto the land of Canaan, and take your father and your household, and come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and ye shall eat of the fat of the land. Now thou art commanded, this take you wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and for your wives, and bring your father and come. Also, regard not yours, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. What really impacted Pharaoh's heart was the heart of Joseph. And then Pharaoh told Joseph, you know what? Everything that's mine is yours. Don't take the fords, okay, to go get your family. Take the better, take the best, take the Chevys, okay? Take the best wagons. Everything that Pharaoh had became Joseph's. But think on that. What made Pharaoh take that decision? Seeing Joseph being willing and able to forgive. How many blessings is God withholding from us because we don't forgive? What things are in your life this morning that are withholding the grace of God on your life because you don't forgive? Let us all pray.